Get the most out of the Kingston Grand Theatre experience with access to pre-sale tickets, the best prices, and the best seats. Tickets for individual performances and subscriptions for the Grand Onstage season are on sale now at kingstongrand.ca.
The music scene in town has changed a lot since we started Kingston Live. Nearly 8 years have passed, and in that time, we've seen new bands form, and others wrap up and turn to new projects. Artists have moved away to larger markets, and others have arrived in town to start their journey in local pubs and studios. Our guests today bring with them two different perspectives on the music scene. One is a longtime creator starting anew, and another adding her voice to the patchwork of the city. If you're a regular listener, or you've been paying attention to the Kingston music scene, you've probably encountered Sean Patterson. For the last several years, Sean took to stages in town and beyond as the frontman of the indie rock outfit Oak Ridge Ave. Not too long ago, Oak Ridge announced that they would be disbanding, and members of the band would move on to other pursuits. For Sean, that next step would turn out to be New Clarion and the upcoming album Disbelief, a project that finds him carving new directions in both musical style and production. Our second guest has a different relationship with the city's arts community. For Kira, Kingston is both her hometown and the town she came home to. After spending a few years away, Kira came back to Kingston to record her debut solo record, Skin to Skin, an album that blends elements of acoustic folk music and energetic indie rock. I'm gonna let you down easy. Since dropping the record in 2025, she's built a name for herself, both through her live performances and her participation in the Slate music video program earlier this year. Today we're sitting down with Sean and Kira to discuss their experiences in the local music scene, their musical influences, and finding their place in the community. Hello, I'm Johnny San.
I'm Riley Jabor.
This is Kingston Live. We are joined once again by Sean Patterson.
Hello.
And first time on Kingston Live, Kira.
Yay.
And I want to address the name because it's Kira.
Not
and we have
Kira.
A Kyra spelled the same way. And then we have Kira from Tiny Horse spelled differently.
Oh, yeah. It's a very, very popular name and lots of ways to spell it and pronounce it. And yeah, I got Kira a lot. In school, all the supply teachers doing attendance. I still get Kyra sometimes.
Well, I was going to say, do you get that in your musical career
well?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I've had on stage before, all right, guys, Kyra's up next. And then I just don't have the heart to correct anybody. Sure, I'll be Kyra tonight. That's fine.
I do really appreciate that your Instagram handle really spells it out.
I had to. I had to do that.
Kyra.
Yes, because so many people said Kyra.
Smart branding.
Thank you.
But Kyra.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. I can sympathize with that as a Sean spelled S-E-A-N. A lot of people got my name
really?
Wrong in school too. Yeah.
What?
You're surprised.
Like...
Yes, exactly as you're thinking.
Yeah. Yeah. Sean is so...
Yeah.
I always think of Sean Bean, the actor. Looks like Sean Bean or Sean Bond.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kira, Riley Jabor and I were talking about how the first time we saw you perform was just recently at Back to the Farm.
Yes, that was so fun.
Yes.
That was a great day.
Great performance.
Thanks for coming early.
Well, it was funny. We were talking about that because we're usually there early because we're often there in... You're usually there in an official capacity.
I am, yes.
Yes.
Which, by the way, you're the only band that I didn't intro, and I felt very bad about that. I was running just literally
That's
40
okay.
seconds behind.
That's okay. Don't worry about it.
I was texting Chris Morris, the organizer, and he was like, hey, are you here yet? And I was like, almost. And then I hear him on stage. He's like, I'll be there. I'm in the gates. Come on, man.
The question is, would you have screwed up the name?
100%.
Yeah, yes. Thank God. You
I definitely said Kyra on air for months leading up to the festival. My apologies.
Yeah, there you go. It all worked out in the end.
Well, great performance. Yes, we enjoyed that. And yeah, the crowd was really into it very early in the day. There isn't usually that many people at Back to the Farm.
It was awesome. I was surprised. I hope they were there to see me.
Well, I was kind of wondering, like, did she bring a lot of friends? Or
I did.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of my friends and family came out, which is, you know, I have a very supportive group of people around me, which, as you know, you can't do it without that support system. So it was a great day.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of people came out. It was, yeah, it was fun.
Well, and that's, I find that stage is very, like, for the headliners, it's just a normal day at the office, right? Mm-hmm. But for local performers, that's a big deal playing on that stage.
It was awesome. Great stage.
You can both speak to that, I'm sure. Yes.
Yeah. I think as the whole festival has aged, more and more people are going earlier to catch the local artists. Like when we played, it was a great day. Like there were still lots of people there to see us, but it was still very much like the trickle at the beginning, you know? Mm. I wish I had made it this year because it was a great lineup, but mm-hmm. I wasn't able to.
Who it's headlined Sunday, again this tough. Year? Goldie Boutillier.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Sloan.
And Sloan.
Oh, yes. Right.
It's funny it's got to the point where Sloan is not the headliner.
How did that happen?
Yeah.
I remember seeing that on the poster. I was like, wait, what?
Well, in previous years, like Joel Plaskett has had second billing, which is funny.
Yeah.
I think it was the Blue Stones and then Joel Plaskett and then everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
I always really love how they do that 1-2 punch of like sub-headliner or co-headliner, and like they're usually like both really exciting bands but very different sides of the coin, you know?
Yeah, well the sound was like Goldie's, I'm both wonderful but very I guess not very different but like different styles.
I'd say it's fair to say very different.
But yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of crossover
different.
In the Venn diagram of Sloan and Goldie.
Yes, they were both amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to throw back to the previous podcast when we talked to Steve Jordan. He made a really good point about festivals and how it's great to have a variety because people in charge of the festivals, they like to look at people as demographics, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, these people like this kind of music. But it's like, no, people aren't like that. And they haven't been for a long time. People seem to like pretty much everything.
Well, especially big music fans, I feel like, and like true music lovers listen to everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's like when people ask me like, oh, what sort of genre are you inspired by? I'm like, I just like good music. Like, if it's good, it's good. If it's not inspiring, if it doesn't make me feel it, it doesn't matter about the genre, but...
Well, let's talk about I wanted to talk about your music because I feel like I'm curious where your music comes from because I feel like there's a flow and a naturalness to your
Thank
music.
Thank you. I think just like the music I listen to, I think a lot of songwriters would agree. I'm just inspired by music I love and music I've loved for years. And what do I like to listen to right now? And that changes. And there are some artists and some albums that I consistently come back to. I feel like I'm always finding new people to listen to. And I feel like my music doesn't really fit into one specific genre. I feel like every song is kind of different. But I think that just comes from listening to all kinds of different music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who inspires you or has inspired you?
My parents are huge. They're not musicians, but they're like huge, huge, huge music lovers. Mm. So both of them as well, all types of different genre. My dad's got a huge record collection at home. Lots of classic rock like Zeppelin and AC/DC and Jimi Hendrix. But my mom is really into the 90s stuff too. She loves Tracy Chapman. Mm. She loves like Prince. I guess he's 80s, 90s. But then also like when I was growing up, it was like I was born in 01. So the like big era of like pop, radio pop music was like big at the time when my brain was developing. Mm-hmm. And so like Beyonce, I love Gaga, I love Rihanna is like a big one for me. But also, I don't know, like everything.
Yeah.
I'm very inspired like by a lot of Canadian music too. I think my parents, growing up, they would take us to Wolf Island Music Festival or like the Hip was my parents, you know, when they were in university, they would go watch them at bars and Sam Roberts Band was like a big one as well. My parents love him. So everyone.
That makes sense. I'm glad that there's that sort of Canadian element in there. Because those other artists that you mentioned, I was, as you were saying that, I was thinking, I don't feel like I can hear the inspiration, but I don't think you sound like them. Your music's a little more grounded, I find.
Yes. Yeah. I think the Canadian music specifically is huge. Even like Kingston people, Savannah, Shay, and like Miss Emily and Tiny Horse, like, I mean, the music community here is wonderful, but also having like women to look up to in that aspect. They're also like great friends of mine, but wonderful like mentors and examples for me as well.
I'm glad you said that, because we've had Miss Emily on a number of times, and she talks about how her early musical days were very lonely because she felt like she was the only woman in the city.
She's done a wonderful job bringing women in the community together and uplifting and creating spaces for all of us to come together and create and support each other. And yeah, she's wonderful. Mm-hmm. She's done a great job of, I think she would say this too, but like being the person that she wishes she had.
Yes. That's a great way to put it.
Yes. And I feel that, I mean, she has had a wonderful impact on my life and my music journey.
And while we're talking about songwriting and process, that's brings me to a question I had for you, Sean. So you've got this new project, New Clarion, which is your post-Oak Ridge Ave project. How does creating music for that feel different versus with Oak Ridge, which was, you know, a different group of guys, guys you'd been writing with for so long? What's the process feel like coming at a new angle like that?
It's definitely quite different, both in the final product and kind of the process and the inception. It's mostly just that, like, I feel like I've kind of taken off any guardrails. Like, with Oak Ridge, obviously there's a certain kind of democratic system that naturally evolves when you're in a band, or at least it should be in a healthy scenario. And we all bring our own influences to the table, and it's sort of loosely we have an understanding, okay, we're doing the indie rock thing. We know, we'll kind of know it when we hear it, that we're sounding like ourselves. And there's a world that we lived in that was comfortable and made sense. New Clarion is definitely a little bit more exploratory in that way. Like, it kind of started just because I had a space. I moved into a new house and built a little studio in the basement, and suddenly having a place where there were no like barriers to creativity, I could just go down there and immediately have the drums set up, and my guitars were right there, and I was really getting into music production since working with Hawksley. So I was like, just sort of this whole world opened up of sonic exploration. And I was like, I just need to do something as an outlet. And I actually started putting out the first EPs and singles, just no fanfare. I wasn't even using my face or anything. Just like, I just need to get this out of the system. And since then, it's kind of just grown into something that is, I think a lot more close to the kind of music that I was sort of yearning to make for a long time. So yeah, it's just been a great outlet and fun to explore different ways of making things.
I'm glad you said that, because that's very much the way it sounded to me when I was listening to it. It sounds right like on. Oh, he's really having fun here, and there's a lot of exploration, and your production chops are really good too. Like the music sounds really good. Everything seems to fit.
That touches me very deeply. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yes.
That's good to hear.
I know we talked about that a little a while back too. Yeah.
Can I ask a question actually?
Yeah, please.
Do you feel like when you're writing for, okay, this is my project versus for the band, do you feel like you can get a lot more like personal and dig a little deeper and vulnerable?
Yeah, broadly speaking, for sure. Like when you're writing for a band, you're definitely kind of thinking like, I'm not just, you know, trauma dumping my own feelings.
Right.
I'm trying to be the voice of a group
a
of people,
scene,
right?
Yeah.
And so you can't help being personal in some ways when you're writing, because you only have your own perspective. But yeah, I definitely can, like, I feel like I can, dig a little bit deeper, get a little bit more sort of philosophical. I do a lot of idea exploration, I think, where I just have maybe a feeling or a loose idea and then kind of writing around it, where it's not like strictly telling a story or anything like that. But it makes the lyrics kind of inscrutable and hard for people to understand, which I have been told. But it just feels a little more honest, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
We had Paul Langlois on the podcast a few months ago. He was sitting where you're sitting right now, and it seemed that I was the one to break the news to him that Oak Ridge Ave had finished.
Oh, no.
And he seemed a little sad about that.
Well, he wouldn't be the only one. We were all, you know, I don't know, it's weird. It's kind of like a bittersweet thing because, like, you put better part of, like, 10 years of effort into something and you have your ups and downs. It's weird when you're an artist, like, there's never really, like, an arrival point or a making it point. Like, we were successful in many ways and by many definitions. It wasn't like we had tons of success that the average person would recognize as such. But we were just at a point where it just felt natural. And like we kept saying, we're leaving the door cracked open. We're never saying never here. Like, if we all suddenly feel the impulse to revisit this and or even just maybe we want to get into the room and jam again, that door is open. But it's also like Adam started a family and that's obviously like gonna come first and very important. So Thomas is on the road with Cassador a lot, and so these things, like, we're all with our blessing, like, we wouldn't take that away from either of them. But like, sometimes the writing's on the wall that we should just take a step back, and it's been great because everyone's still doing amazing things, playing with other bands and scratching itches that they creatively that they we weren't doing when we were, you know, all in on this one thing. So yeah, blessing in disguise sometimes.
So it was, I get the sense, it wasn't like a somebody hates somebody kind of thing.
No. It was a very natural, amicable thing.
Yeah. And I find we've seen a bit of that in the last year or so, because the Wilderness have called it quits. The Sugar Pills, I was told, are on hiatus.
Yeah.
People's lives change, and sometimes it's time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens. It's never the thing that you, like, imagine when you start a project. You think, you know, maybe this will be the one that really, you know, does it. But I think it's kind of good to know when something has kind of reached a natural end point, or at least a chapter close. It would feel worse if we were still trying to force something that didn't feel good and wasn't as fulfilling as it used to be.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do we want to drop a track?
Yeah, well, the first single I put out from this record is called Key to the City. We could do that one. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to describe. That's going to be a theme for a lot of this stuff.
Yes,
it's actually a good example of what I mentioned about, like, the sort of idea exploration. It was more like an overall feeling or vibe that I was kind of writing around. Yeah, broadly just about, honestly, kind of feeling a little bit, what's the term? Cash poor or something, I think. Is that the term?
Yes.
Anyway. just being like kind of stung where it's like, man, I like things are kind of like normal and good and I'm okay, but god damn it, I wish I just had like that little extra bit of like freedom and things, and feeling a little bit sort of stuck, you know, in the same place. Yeah, that's sort of loosely what it's about, but finding kind of a hopefulness in it and being okay with, you know, maybe all I have is some cheap beer and you know, a couple of buds, but we're gonna make that church for the day, you know. That's gonna be the place that you find fulfillment.
Still broken.
This episode of Kingston Live is brought to you by Grand Onstage. Grand Onstage takes you beyond the regular Kingston Grand Theater experience. It's a subscription option that gives you access to pre-sale tickets, the best prices, and the best seats. That means you can customize your own individual package starting at just 4 performances. Want to bring friends? Subscriber pricing applies to their tickets too. And if your plans change, just exchange your tickets for another performance. Tickets for individual performances and subscriptions for the Grand Onstage season are on sale now at kingstongrand.ca.
Sean, I want to talk about that guitar tone and Show Up, because you and I talked about that a while back. Please tell us about that.
This is a track that I guess as of yet has not been released, but I did bring it to you, what, like 8 months ago? That's crazy.
Well, we were at your place and you were showing me.
It's weird that I've been working on it that long. a lot of the exploration that I've been doing really comes from just sort of accidents, you know, and trying to find the sort of the weirdest way to get to a sound. You want like a fuzzy guitar tone, you can plug in your amp with your fuzz pedal and some plugins or something and just get there immediately. It's very easy to do. But I like kind of that feeling of struggle of like, maybe this thing is going to sound terrible, but it could also be the nicest, weirdest, trashiest guitar tone you've ever heard. So it was actually a tape deck, like an old tape deck that my buddy Lucas, who's incidentally the drummer for this project, picked up at Value Village. He's like a thrift shark. He's so good at it. And he found this tape deck for like $20. He picked it up, brought it by, and we rewired it to have an input for like a quarter inch jack. And you plug a guitar in and it just has this ludicrous, filthy, like spluttery, disgusting tone that is completely unusable in a lot of different ways, but it had so much like mojo to it, you know? And then that just sort of became the soul of that song. I've used it in a bunch of different, I think I did my vocals through that as well, now that I think That's about cool. it. But I've found a lot of the songs kind of come out of things like that, just a little bit of a weird idea or like a fever dreamy kind of, I've had too much wine, what can I do with this in the studio, you know?
That's cool.
And then suddenly you've got, you know, a spark of an idea.
That's like the fun part about recording, I feel like, is trying something. And if it doesn't work out, okay, we'll try something else.
And then and sometimes it doesn't work out is just for that moment, for that song. It could be completely awesome for something else. Yeah. And you have that bank of things that you can draw on, you know?
Oh, I'm going to try that now. Yeah.
It's surprisingly easy to turn a tape deck into a guitar amp.
All right.
I just got a reel on Instagram last night of somebody doing that with one of those kids, like sort of like Speak and Spell or whatever they're called, little like toy with the buttons.
Yeah. Yeah.
They like tear it apart. They put a quarter inch in and they're running it through all their pedals. And I was like, why?
Like this sounds awesome.
Why would you need this? And two, this is incredible. Yeah. I need to do this.
Yeah. Yeah. You can just do things. It's crazy. Like,
did you know that you can actually just do things?
I know. It's wild. There are literally no rules.
Yeah. I've been saying for a while and nobody believes me, but I keep saying the future is analog. Because almost everything digital is designed to recreate things that exist in the real world.
Yes.
But new stuff comes from the real world.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I have really enjoyed, there's like a resurgence of analog for like a kind of a pushback against big tech right now, mm-hmm. because so much stuff is like, you don't own anything, right? It's all kind of
edification of society.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah. And it's been really neat seeing how people are switching back to analog or just older technologies and stuff like that, and seeing that have this resurgence. And I think it's interesting to filter that through a perspective of looking at like the creation of music and just other creative outlets as well.
It's also like a wonderful way to directly support artists, especially independent artists. Like if somebody has a CD, there's selling for $10, $15, that's way better than streaming. Like mm-hmm. one stream is less than a cent.
And depending on the platform, it sounds better than streaming.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Like Spotify is pretty lo-fi for the most part. It's a bit thin sounding. Mm-hmm.
And I'll take your word for it. I can't tell, but I'm still working on that part of my ear.
Okay. Yeah. If you A-B them, you might hear the difference.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every time a new news story about Spotify comes out, too, it's just like, hey, you know, each artist is getting a fraction of a cent, but we're using the rest of the money to come up with new, incredibly, unbelievably evil things.
It's getting worse.
They're like, how did you even come up with AI war plans? Yeah. Like, what are you doing? You made this up to make me mad.
This is not why I picked up the guitar.
Exactly.
Let's change gears entirely from war crimes and Spotify. Kira, as an artist who grew up in Kingston, you left Kingston for a period of time and then moved back. I'm always really curious about the perspective that adds to artists, kind of revisiting the Kingston music scene as somebody who has come up in it and then taken a sabbatical of sorts from this specific location. How did that give you perspective, or what did that feel like for you?
I think it made me appreciate it a lot more. Not that I didn't appreciate it before, but I think there was this idea of, oh, you got to go to Toronto if you want to make it. You got to go to Toronto. So then I went and I tried it. And I am actually finding the city of Kingston in general and the music community here, I have felt a lot more support here. I mean, the music community in Toronto is wonderful as well. Like, the artists themselves are wonderful. I made so many friends and, you know, made a lot of great connections, and I'm glad I did that. But I don't know, man. Like, the city of Kingston, they have a lot of great programs and funding and a lot of great workshops. Like, there's always something going on. The Slate music video thing was like, they don't have anything like that in Toronto. But also, I find here, people are just more inclined to go watch local music. Like, if there's something going on, people will just, even if they don't know who's playing, people will just go watch. Whereas when I lived in Toronto, I don't know, it's such a, people like to go clubbing and they like to do whatever's trendy and go to the, I don't know, there's just something so special here about the music community, and
And other people have pointed out how collaborative Kingston is with its music scene, which I think is definitely one of its strengths. And I do think it helps that in the last several years, the city itself has made more of a deliberate effort to promote and nurture these things. And the Slate music video showcase is a perfect example of that. Because I think that was my first exposure to your music.
Oh, was the music video, like, this past February?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, cool.
And that was, I always love that event. I go to it every year, partly to discover bands that I wouldn't have seen otherwise, but also just to see that collaboration of the music scene and the film scene.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. And working with David was awesome. And yeah, that was like unreal. I wouldn't have been able to do that if it weren't for that opportunity.
And like Back to the Farm, that's a very early platform for a lot of people and a big jump for a lot of people. Yeah. Very validating for new and emerging artists.
Yeah. Back to the Farm is another great example. Like, they make a point of, at least the first few bands are all local. Chris Morris, like, does a great job of finding great people and supporting the community, and it's a great place to be a musician. There's a lot of musicians that also just live here, not just artists, but also, like, there's plenty of studios and there's plenty of sound people. I think it's a great hub, maybe just because it's so central, but also I think the main thing is just, like, it's, everybody's so supportive, and like you said, like, Kingston does a great job of nurturing the music scene.
Absolutely. Yeah. Would we like to play a track of yours?
Sure.
What should we listen to?
Well, speaking of Slate, why don't we play I Am a Diamond?
That sounds good.
Yes. That's the song we did the video for.
And that one went over really well with the crowd a few months ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the song, but the visual element was very striking too.
Props to David.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Unfortunately, they won't see that in the podcast. Go check it out. It's a good video.
It's on YouTube.
If you like the song, check out the video as well.
Yeah.
Anything you'd like to say about the song before we get into it?
I will leave it up to interpretation.
Okay.
I think that's the great thing about music, is everybody's got their own, it's a different nerve for everybody. So I think that's a great song to just leave up to the audience.
Always wonder.
Yeah.
That's absolutely what I should have done. Thank you.
sit down easy.
It's a one-day journey of musical discovery. The first ever Road Trip Music Festival. Saturday, September 12th in downtown Kingston. Featuring Peach Pit, Gabriel Jacoby, Katie Tupper, and local favorites like Cassador, Tiny Horse, and Piner. Enjoy a day of music, food, shopping, and community in downtown Kingston. Road Trip Music Festival. Tickets and details at kingstonlive.ca.
It's so funny what you said about Toronto, too. I did exactly the same thing. It's like, I got to try it out. You got to go to the big city and see what happens.
I'm glad I did it.
Yeah.
And I met a lot of cool people. It's just not as, like, there's something special about it.
It did make me miss and really appreciate Kingston in the way that I didn't at all before, you know?
Yeah.
You don't realize how unique the city is until you're away from it.
Yeah.
And then, but it's just so hard to describe what mm-hmm. is the it.
Yeah.
There, we've been working on that for about almost 8 years now.
Yeah.
With Kingston Live. And yeah, there's just so many answers and they're all correct. Another one is just the accessibility of the city.
Yeah.
It's big enough that there's so many things happening. There's a lot of amazing people doing amazing things, but it's small enough that you have access to
it,
which I think is a huge strength.
And I think having the access to it speaks to that collaboration that you were talking about, where everybody's kind of like in it for each other instead of in it for themselves.
Yeah.
The whole rising tide raises all ships, et cetera, et cetera. The Slate Music Showcase, I think, is a great example of that. It always feels like, to me, like musician prom for Kingston. Everybody
comes
out.
That's a great way to describe it.
Everybody's
they dress
so happy.
Up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's incredible. It's like the best feeling. Everybody's so stoked for each other. Yeah.
They should rebrand it. Slate Music Prom.
Yeah.
I like it. Yes.
Man, I feel like I've missed out. When we did ours, it was right when the world shut down. So
I didn't get to go to prom. What the hell?
That was, I remember that day very well because I went to a film festival film and my plan was to, this was the afternoon, my plan was to eat dinner, and then go to the music video showcase. And then as soon as I got out of the movie, Riley Jabor texted me and said, everything's canceled. The world is done. COVID, yeah, et cetera. Yeah.
It all happened in one day.
It was
day.
So like sad.
As soon as the NBA shut down, I think it was the same day or the day before, it was like, holy shit. What? Like, what is going on right now?
Yeah.
And then just all downhill
all
from there.
Yeah.
It was a sad day. But it came back, and it gets better every year.
Yeah.
Which somehow, yeah.
Yes. I believe that was also a Friday the 13th, wasn't it?
Oh, I think you're right. Yeah. That rings a bell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If it wasn't a Friday, it was like a Saturday the 14th, but there was definitely a Friday the 13th.
It was a Friday. I remember it was a weekday.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gosh.
Crazy.
Another thing about the scene, this was a new one, because we always come back to geography and collaboration, and those things are definitely valid. But last month when we had Steve Jordan on, he was talking about the pace of the city, which I don't think anyone had considered before. Because in a place like Toronto, it takes an hour to get anywhere, right? So many people go to work and sleep.
Yeah.
And that's life, right?
Yeah.
Here, life breathes a little more, and I think for creative people, you need that space for inspiration and incubation of those ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's one of the things that I found. It's funny, I had like the same exact thing as Kira, like going and spending some time in Toronto and then being drawn naturally back to Kingston. Mm-hmm. And you definitely do have just more time and space. You can get across the entire city in like 15 minutes, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You can barely get a couple of blocks in Toronto in the same amount of time, especially if it's rush hour, you're screwed. I would be intrigued to know sort of what that does psychologically to people, just being in the place where you are able to receive inspiration versus focused on getting to the next thing, you know?
And I find you build deeper relationships in a place like this too. There are fewer people. It's that thing of breadth of relationships or depth of relationships.
Yeah.
And both are valid and useful. But I, for myself, I find depth of relationship much more satisfying.
I think part of it, too, like you go downtown, you always see someone you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think there's a really interesting like crossover we could explore here. And I was kind of just mentioning this to you before we started recording. But like with the pace of the city, I think there is an interesting cross section one could look at of like urbanism versus creativity in a city, where you hear about people talking about like the pace of Toronto and how that's so crushing. And then somewhere like this, where it's a lot easier to cross the city, or you can get, you know, out and see people more easily because there's more interaction face to face. I wonder how that affects the creativity and the just free flowing of thought and music. Mm-hmm. The longer I talk, the less I feel like this point is making any sense, I hope it's coming out.
It makes sense. And I've also met, like, I think it just depends on the individual person, because I've met people, especially when I lived in Toronto, that they love it. They're diehard. Like, they love the city. They love the energy. They love the commotion. I just learned about myself, I think, that I am not a big city girl. It's not for me. Yeah. But I don't know. Everybody's different.
And I think I've mentioned this on the podcast before, but even in my business, I do a lot of networking and I talk to lots of business people, and I meet so many people that either left Kingston and came back, or they came here and they don't want to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's something special.
Yes.
About it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yes. So what's next for you guys? I'll start with you, Sean.
Yeah. I guess we've kind of like been talking about it sort of off and on, but I have a record that is coming out. My wife told me I have to pick a date, because I was like,
so you haven't done that yet.
We're going to say October 1st, which is a meaningful date for us, but also just I had to make a decision, and now I have. It's going to be
okay.
Yeah. And you heard it here first.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the first single is out, and it's weird. I've never made like a full record myself before. You know, we've worked, we've been really lucky with Oak Ridge to work with great producers, Hoxley Workman, a hero of mine, and Ian Blurton before that. And,
great sounding records.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, they're just so good at what they do.
Yeah.
I have to like credit them actually for sort of turning me into a producer, like just being there shadowing them the whole time. I was just like a sponge. Like I just wanted to soak up as much as I possibly could. And Hoxley actually told me at one point, sort of halfway through making Wind Up Let Go, that you should probably start doing this. You probably have the producer brain. And I was like, really? Like, I was just making crappy demos at the time to try and explain to him how we wanted these songs to sound. And he was like, yeah, start a bedroom indie pop project under a pseudonym. I did that. And he's like, and then, you know, start producing some like young local bands or something who just need a space. Started to do that. And I realized like, I got bit hard by the production bug. Like I can't get enough of it now.
I can tell.
Yeah. 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 So, and then a couple of EPs, couple of singles. And then I realized, I think I just have to like own this project and start making it more of a thing and do the full record. And also like, I don't know if you're like this, Kira, but like there's something about records that like you can't get the same thing from a playlist or a single or even an EP. Like you can really establish a world to live in for half an hour or 40 minutes.
I agree. And especially when a new record comes out, like I like to find time to listen to the whole thing in order because everything down to the names, the order of the songs, the vibe that they're trying to curate, the, like you said, the world building, it's all so thought out. Yeah. And yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah, like it's weird, even when I make playlists that have some of my favorite songs from albums that I love, you hit shuffle and then the song comes on and then my brain is like, song finishes and my brain wants to hear the opening notes of the next song. And then when it's not there, it drives me crazy. Yeah. So and the amount of times I've been listening to a playlist, I hear a great song and then I'm just like, ah, good, I'm going back to listen to that record. And I was just trying to like capture that, you know, make a record that that kind of had to be digested all in one go.
Yeah.
And where it had its own logic and its own world that it lives in. So that was sort of at least the goal. I don't know if I've reached it, but I will leave that open to interpretation when it drops.
That almost feels like it kind of circles back to the earlier conversation about like going back to analog, because exactly as you were saying about listening to a record all the way through and you have to hear that next song in your head. That was one of my favorite things in like before streaming, when a new album would come out, I would sit there and I would listen to it and I'd go through the liner sheet as I'm listening and read over the lyrics. And now that's something I don't even know if I have the attention span to do anymore because there's so much stimuli all the time. But being able to really just get in depth with a record like that is such a satisfying experience with music.
I think it's like a way to also, how do I word this, pay respect like to the artist and the producer and everybody that worked on it, because like I said, the order of the songs and the little things you read about each song, like there's so much thought and time and energy that goes into all of that. I feel about my album, like, yeah, I want people, if you're going to listen to it in order, because that's, you know, it's important to me.
Well, I'm going to go back to breadth of relationships versus depth of relationships again, and I think that applies to media as well.
Yeah,
vinyl, I think, it's so great that there's been a massive resurgence in vinyl, but it's like, to me, it's like the perfect physical encapsulation of what we're talking about with the kind of value that you're buying into when you buy a record. It's like you're almost claiming a little ownership of that, a piece of the artist, you know, in a way that you're not when you just stream their song.
Yeah.
So I like everybody, I discover a lot of artists that I never would have heard of through streaming. But if I really love what they're doing and I like their record, I'm going to go out of my way to buy it.
Yeah.
To try and support them in that way. And then, yeah, you feel like you have a piece of it, you know, you take it home, it goes in the collection and it's just much more, there's more weight to it, literally and figuratively.
It's funny how records sort of became the perfect format almost by accident, because we kind of like the big album art. We like the presentation, but even just the length of the album, that seemed to be the optimal length really for most people. Like I find when music started going digital in the 80s and 90s with CDs, a lot of albums just got too long.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's like vinyl was a pretty good length, like 8 to 10 songs.
I'd never thought about it that way. Like literally the physical limitations of the medium that ended up just sort of dictating the maximum amount you could do. What is it, like 22 minutes a side, I think, or something like that?
So, I don't know. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of any other, like, form, like any other form of art that has so perfectly hit, like this is the perfect medium for this communication. Mm-hmm. Like movies, you know, maybe it's film. I don't know. I've never run a projector, but like nothing has really actually, you know what? That's a great, I don't know why I just complimented my own thought. That's a great point, Riley. But the Odyssey, the new Christopher Nolan movie.
I was just thinking that.
Because he shot it entirely on IMAX film, mm-hmm. there is a maximum length to each scene because you can only fit that much length of film in there. And that can't be the right format, right? Like you're literally dictated by the format there. Right. Yeah. Anyway, I'm making more points that don't come to a complete formed thought.
I feel like we could do a whole other talk about film and, yeah. and media formats. Yes.
But, there you go. You'll have to do a film podcast.
Oh, that's I don't have time for a film podcast. I would love to do that. If someone in the film office wants to start that, please go ahead. I would listen. Kira, what's next for you? I know your album Skin to Skin came out a while back.
Yeah.
What's next for you?
I'm doing some recording right now. Starting to come to the tail end of my summer gigs and then just focusing on recording right now. I don't want to give a date. I have a date in my mind or like a time frame. I don't want to put it out there because I don't want to jinx it. Mm. So
does that mean Sean is jinxed by declaring October 1st?
No, because he's done recording already. You know how it is with recording.
Yeah.
Getting everybody's schedules together and trying things and it doesn't sound the way you wanted to. And
you have to give yourself time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It really only makes sense to set a deadline once you know you have it.
Yes. Right? So.
Makes sense.
Doing that. Into the throes of the creative process right now. And working at my serving job. So that's awesome and super fun.
I remember Chris Morris said that everybody in the music scene seems to either work in hospitality or construction.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
I don't know if that's the case in other places, but in Kingston, that definitely seems to be the case.
Well, there's plenty of serving jobs here, plenty of construction and plenty of restaurants. So.
Well, things are always getting built and we like restaurants here. There's a lot of restaurants in Kingston, so that makes sense, I guess. Yeah. Anything else before we wrap it up?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I had a great time. Yeah, I feel like we should chat more.
I know,
Yeah, because like, you were saying things, and I'm like, that is exactly what I was going to say.
Is this something you want to say recorded, or you want to just go offline
just
for that?
Just so we're on the same wavelength.
Yeah.
I will say, everybody keep an eye and keep an ear out for when I'm ready to put more music out.
Well, you let us know, and we will promote it.
Have me back, maybe? Fingers crossed?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Stay in touch, for sure.
Okay.
Thank you both for coming in. This is a great chat.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
This has been Kingston Live. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please share it, tell a friend, or subscribe on your platform of choice. For show listings, artist info, and all things Kingston music, check out kingstonlive.ca. Kingston Live was produced in Kingston by Soundwise. Hosted by Riley Jabor and John Sanfilippo. Writing and research by Peter Sanfilippo. Executive producer Rob Howard. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at podcast@kingstonlive.ca.
After a week one victory on the road in Toronto...
Touchdown, number 18, Jack Ashby Jacob.
Your Queens Golden Gales return to the friendly confines of Richardson Stadium on Saturday, September 12th for home opening football action against the Waterloo Warriors.
It is pandemonium here at Richardson.
The stakes are high in this emotionally charged game, and if you can't be there live, you can catch all the action on CFRC starting at 4:45 p.m. ahead of the scheduled 5 o'clock kickoff.
Hey, hey, hey! You want to kick the summer heat and get a nice treat? Don't hesitate to make a date to visit Old Farm Fine Foods. Pizza, frittata, sausage rolls, sandwiches, soups, and more are ready and waiting to get in your belly. Plus, you can also buy fresh and frozen food to prepare at home. Pop into the shop Monday through Sunday between 8 to 6 at 204 Berry Street. And don't forget to follow Old Farm Fine Foods on Instagram at Old Farm FF to get the scoop on the latest goodies. Old Farm Fine Foods, comfort food you can count on.
The dice on Saturday nights at 11 p.m. with CFRC's Radio Roulette. Every week we get a new randomly generated playlist courtesy of the Online Digital Media Library. We let fate decide and the host must abide. So I hope you'll join me on this journey through genres, time, and taste each and every single Saturday at 11 p.m.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present Abby Miolet's new single, Absolutely. 5 minutes of folky acoustic guitar and R&B-inspired vocals that peel through the complex layers of love, capturing both the fear and gratitude that come with sharing your life with someone. Keep up with the artist by following Voice of Abby on Instagram, and if you'd like to be highlighted next time, complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. For now, let's enjoy Absolutely by Abby Miolet right now, here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
If you only knew what we were in for, would you still believe we were meant to meet by chance that day in May? If I only knew what we were in for, would I go to you the way I did, or go back the way I came? If we only met when we were older and wiser and more mature, would it make a difference? Darling, we'll never know. Having given with all your ups and downs, and I know love works in mysterious ways, and its beauty can get lost in the chaos of fighting and fearing the worst. But if you were to ask me if I'd still go to you, I'd say absolutely, I say absolutely, I say to ask
ask me if I'd still go to you, I'd say absolutely. I'd say absolutely. I'd say let your guard down, no more guns out. Put your weapons away, we're a team now. My battles are yours and yours are mine. It's been a year, you know me so well. Maybe better than I know myself. I wanna learn love with you till we die.
Greetings and a warm welcome to the Pantheon. I'm your host, Madeline. The Pantheon is an auditory feast where you're expected to leave any and all reservations at the door. We will explore a different theme each week based on concepts found in literature, music, and mythology. So for those seeking an adventure, tune in to CFRC 101.9 FM on Thursdays at 8 p.m. and I'll see you there.
My name is Genevieve, and I'll be hosting Peace, Love, and Jenny on CFRC 101.9 FM on Saturday evenings at 8 p.m. We'll be exploring everything from pop and soul to funk, jazz, and even a touch of hip-hop. Music that spans decades but all connects through good vibes, peace, and love, and of course, a little bit of me, Jenny. See you there!
CFRC Power Plays is your home for every touchdown.
The 20, the 15, the 10, see ya!
Every turnover.
And it's picked off!
And every golden moment you'll want to watch over and over again.
Cedric Smith!